You know that visceral, like physical pit in your stomach when you open an app expecting good news, and instead it's just a wall of bad data?
Oh, yeah. It is the absolute worst feeling.
Right. For anyone who has been selling on Etsy for any amount of time, that feeling has a very specific visual. You open your seller app, you check your stats, and there they are.
Those dreaded downward sloping graphs.
Exactly. The views are down, the favorites have completely dried up, and you know that beautiful chaunching sound is just dead silent.
It is an incredibly stressful experience, mostly because it feels like a sudden total loss of control. You were doing fine yesterday, and today it feels like the floor just dropped out from under your entire business.
We have absolutely been there, and the natural immediate impulse is to panic.
Oh, totally.
You want to rush in, tear the house down, and rebuild. You start blindly rewriting your listing titles on a whim, you know, slashing your prices, swapping out every single tag you can find across your shop.
Which is the absolute definition of panic editing. And making those blind changes when your stats dip usually does a lot more harm than good. You're essentially thrashing in the water, exhausting yourself, without actually moving towards safety.
So before you touch your keyboard and start ripping your shop apart, we need you to step back because the drop you are seeing might not be a glitch and it might not even be your fault.
Right. Etsy's entire ecosystem just changed overnight.
Exactly. Today, we're taking a deep dive into some benchmark research from the Online Sellers Hub to figure out exactly why your traffic is dropping and, more importantly, how to rewire your shop to survive it.
And the first thing to understand is that the rules of search and discovery have fundamentally shifted. If your sales are tanking, it is highly likely you simply haven't aligned with SE's massive new algorithm updates.
Which is huge.
Yeah, it is. The most critical piece of this puzzle is Etsy's official integration with Google's Vertex AI and Gemini models into their search ecosystem. We're pulling this from a really insightful article they published called, It's Official, Etsy's New Collaboration with Google.
And you can find that over at onlinesellershub.com/organic-promotion-on-etsy/etsy-new-traffic-revolution.
So I see the terms Vertex AI and Gemini thrown around in tech news all the time, but we need to ground this.
Sure.
What does a massive Google AI integration actually mean for a shop owner selling like handmade jewelry or custom leather wallets?
It means we are witnessing the death of the old Etsy.
Wow.
Okay. For years, the formula for getting found on the platform relied heavily on keyword stuffing. You would cram as many long-tail phrases as humanly possible into your titles and, you know, fill up all 13 of your tags with repetitive, slightly varied words.
Right.
If you sold a necklace, your title was just this massive word salad of like silver necklace, minimalist jewelry, dainty pendant, gift for her, mom gift.
And that worked for a long time because the old search engine was basically just a digital filing cabinet,
As
right?
much, yeah.
It was just matching the word dainty in the search bar to the word dainty in your title. Precisely. It was a simple word matching protocol. But that era is officially over. The new algorithm has shifted to what is called semantic search.
Okay, semantic search.
Yeah. Instead of acting like a librarian who only looks for exact book titles, semantic search acts more like a detective who reads the summary of the book to understand its actual meaning.
So legacy keyword stuffing is like, I don't know, standing in a crowded room just shouting random words at people, hoping someone wants to buy a necklace.
Exactly.
But this new AI integration is like having an exclusive personal shopper who quietly matches your specific craftsmanship to a buyer's exact aesthetic.
That is a perfect analogy. Think about the Search Generative Experience, or SGE. Buyers are increasingly using Gemini chat interfaces to shop.
Right.
Instead of typing silver necklace and scrolling through 5,000 identical results, a buyer tells the AI, "I need a personalized anniversary gift for an architect who loves sustainable materials and minimalist design."
Wait, really? So they aren't even using the traditional search bar in those cases?
Millions of them won't. The AI takes that complex conversational prompt and scans the platform. It doesn't look for a list of stuffed tags. It processes the holistic context of your shop.
Wow.
It converts the words in your listing into mathematical vectors to understand the relationship between your specific craftsmanship and the buyer's highly specific aesthetic intent. The AI then presents your product directly to the buyer as the definitive answer.
That sounds incredible if you're the shop that gets recommended, but what happens if you're still using the old keyword stuffed method?
Well, in the AI era, legacy keyword stuffing actually confuses the algorithm. The system now assigns an overall quality and context score to every single listing.
Oh, wow. An actual score.
Yep. If your listings feel like a robot wrote them to game a search engine, or if they lack clear structural authority, they won't just rank a little lower. They are actively suppressed.
Ouch.
Yeah. The AI simply won't surface them in these personalized results. The traffic isn't gone and the market isn't shrinking. It is just getting smarter and moving to the sellers who adapt.
So if I'm looking at my dropping stats right now, my immediate thought is, am I being penalized by this new AI, or is it just the middle of summer and nobody is buying sweaters right now?
Right. That's a big question.
How do you isolate the variable?
That brings us to the very first step of diagnosing your drop. You have to zoom out. When sales slow down, relying solely on your own dashboard is a trap. You need to know whether you're dealing with an internal shop flaw or a broader market shift.
Right, because if the entire platform is experiencing an economic lull, panic editing your shop is the worst possible reaction.
Exactly. To figure this out, you have to use specialized tools to check platform trends. And the absolute most effective tool for this is eRank.
I love eRank.
It's essential. If you look at their Etsy traffic trend module, you can compare overall site-wide traffic over the past month against previous periods.
And just a quick note for you listening, if you want to make sure you are accessing the right diagnostic modules, you can use the partner link. It's erank.com? FPR equals online sellership.
Highly recommend doing that.
So if I check eRank and see that site-wide traffic is down 20%, I can take a deep breath.
Yes. But there is a second layer to this diagnosis. You have to look at the top sellers in your specific niche.
Okay, so narrowing it down.
Yeah. If the platform is steady, but your niche is down, it might be a seasonal pattern. However, if top competitors selling similar custom leather wallets are holding steady and your stats are falling off a cliff,
then it's me.
It is definitively an internal shop issue.
Okay, so let's say I've checked the trends. People are still buying custom wallets, but my shop is an absolute ghost town. The AI is clearly passing me over. Where do I even begin looking for the broken pieces without tearing my hair out?
You stop guessing. Okay. Guessing is how sellers lose months of momentum. If you know the issue is internal, you must take an immediate diagnostic assessment.
Right. Don't just blindly change tags.
Exactly. The Online Sellers Hub team built an interactive questionnaire specifically designed to test your shop's compliance with these new AI algorithms.
And this is where you go to my.onlinesellershub.com, right?
That's the one. Taking that assessment scans your store's infrastructure, your settings, and your visual signals. It highlights the immediate gaps without you having to blindly experiment with your live listings.
Which is such a relief.
It is. Under the new rules, treating your live shop as an experimental sandbox is incredibly risky.
Let's pull on that thread, because if the AI is grading us on our infrastructure and context, how does it actually read a handmade mug? I mean, where is it pulling that context from, if not our tags?
It pulls it from your internal data structure. And this is where we see the most critical red flag for older shops. Etsy recently rolled out a massive update regarding personalization fields. We're looking at another great deep dive article here called Etsy's New Personalization Fields and Algorithm Update.
And that one is at onlinesellershub.com/organic-promotion-on-etsy/how-to-optimize-etsy-listings-new-personalization-fields-copy. Long URL, but incredibly important.
Very important. Historically, collecting customization details from a buyer was a messy process.
Oh, it was a nightmare. You had one basic text box. You'd write, you know, please leave the name, the date, and the font color.
Yeah.
And the buyer would type something like, make it look pretty for Susan, thanks.
Exactly.
They'd forget the date, ignore the font options, and completely leave you hanging.
Which forces you to chase them down in direct messages. It delays production, it frustrates the buyer, and it creates massive friction. But this new update fundamentally changes the architecture of a listing. You can now add up to 5 dedicated personalization fields per item.
And these aren't just generic text boxes anymore, right? Let's walk through how this actually works for the buyer, because the user experience is totally different now.
First, you have separated text inputs.
Mm-hmm.
You can mandate one box strictly for name to engrave and a completely separate box strictly for date.
Okay, that's huge.
Second, and this is crucial, you have drop-downs. You can provide a preset menu of up to 30 options.
So instead of hoping they spell the name of a specific font correctly, they just click a drop-down and choose from the exact 30 fonts you offer.
It completely eliminates spelling errors and forces a finalized choice.
I love that.
And third, they introduced a file upload field directly at checkout. Buyers can now attach up to 10 images, with each file being up to 100 megabytes.
100 megabytes per image is massive. That completely kills the phrase, please send your photo via Etsy messages.
Totally.
Customers don't have to guess how to format requests or navigate that clunky messenger interface. They just click, upload, and buy. It removes so much friction.
It's fantastic for your daily operations, absolutely. But if we connect this back to Vertex AI and Gemini, these fields serve a much deeper purpose. They're algorithmic feeding mechanisms.
Wait, how so?
Vertex AI relies on clean, semantic data consistency. When you use a single, unstructured text box, the AI can't parse what options you actually offer.
Oh, it's just arbitrary text to the machine.
Exactly. But by using structured dropdowns and separated text fields, you are feeding this machine learning engine with predictable, unambiguous data blocks. You are giving the AI an explicit, readable map of exactly what your product is and how it can be customized.
Okay, I want to push back on this because I know exactly how an overwhelmed seller is going to react to this news.
I can guess.
I get that data blocks feed the AI, but setting up 5 distinct dropdowns and fields for a shop that has like 300 or 400 custom listings is going to take weeks of tedious data entry. Is this AI penalty really so severe that it justifies pausing my actual production for a month just to click boxes on a back-end menu?
It absolutely justifies it, because the alternative is obsolescence.
Obsolescence? Really?
Yes. If you stick to the old unstructured single text box because it's easier for you in the short term, you are literally blinding the search engine to your product.
Oh, wow.
The AI treats unstructured listings as incomplete. It cannot map your item to a buyer's highly specific query, so it simply walks right past your store. You will lose that traffic entirely.
Oh.
The time investment to restructure your listings is the baseline cost of remaining visible.
That is a brutal reality check. You are providing the map for the web scrapers, and if you don't give them the map, you just don't exist.
Pretty much.
But even if we do all this perfectly, like we restructure all 300 listings, we feed the AI the cleanest data possible, relying 100% on Etsy's internal search bar, still feels incredibly vulnerable.
It is.
You are entirely at the mercy of the next algorithm update.
Which is exactly why successful shop owners build an external moat. We cannot rely on internal traffic alone anymore. You must diversify your channels, and the data points overwhelmingly to Pinterest as the most effective platform for this specific market.
Okay, Pinterest.
Yes. Establishing a dedicated Pinterest business account is now non-negotiable.
Why Pinterest over something like TikTok or Instagram? I mean, those platforms have massive viral reach right now. It seems like everyone is trying to go viral on TikTok.
Well, viral reach is a vanity metric if it doesn't convert.
Sure.
TikTok and Instagram are primarily entertainment platforms. Users are scrolling rapidly for a dopamine hit. They are not in a buying mindset. Pinterest, however, is not social media. It is a visual search engine.
That's a really vital distinction. People use Pinterest to actively plan their lives.
Exactly. They're planning a wedding, decorating a nursery, or actively looking for personalized anniversary gifts. They have extremely high buyer intent.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Furthermore, we have to look at content lifespan. A viral TikTok video disappears into the ether within 48 hours. A well-optimized pin on Pinterest can surface in search results and drive high-intent traffic to your Etsy listing for months or even years.
And there's a massive secondary benefit to this that happens back on Etsy, right? Because Etsy's algorithm watches where your traffic comes from.
It does. When you bring consistent external traffic from Pinterest into the Etsy marketplace, it signals high quality and relevance to Etsy's internal system.
You love external traffic.
They heavily reward you for bringing them fresh buyers. That external traffic triggers an automatic upward push in your internal organic search placement. Winning outside of Etsy actually forces you to win inside of Etsy.
Okay, but I'll be honest. Setting all of this up, mastering the AI personalization fields, running the diagnostics, and now launching a full-scale Pinterest marketing strategy while still trying to actually make your products and run a business.
It's a lot.
It's a massive undertaking. There is a huge learning curve here.
It is a lot to manage, especially if you're trying to piece it together through trial and error. This is where having a tailored professional roadmap becomes the ultimate shortcut.
And for anyone feeling overwhelmed by this transition, you really need to look into the comprehensive store audit they offer over on the Online Sellers Hub website. You can find it at onlinesellershub.com/product/etsy-store-audit-service. It isn't just an automated checklist that gets spit out by a computer. It's an 18 to 24 page custom audit built by experts specifically for your shop.
The true value of a custom audit is that it completely bypasses the learning curve. It provides a holistic approach, analyzing your specific SEO setup and identifying your unique conversion barriers.
Which is so helpful.
Crucially, it includes an entire dedicated chapter solely on your off-Etsy marketing and Pinterest strategy.
It gives you real actionable examples for your specific niche. They don't just hand you a generic mandate to, like, use Pinterest. They outline a tailored pinning plan for exactly what you sell.
Exactly.
It takes you from a state of reactive panic to having total immediate control over your daily action plan.
That sense of control is vital for momentum, because once you execute that plan, once your external Pinterest traffic and your internal AI matchmaking are humming along, you are going to get thousands of shoppers landing on your page. But getting them there is only half the battle. Your shop must be optimized to actually close the deal.
Let's talk about sealing the conversion leaks, because driving traffic to a listing that doesn't convert is just burning cash. You can have 1,000 people admire your custom wallet, but if they bounce, it means nothing for your bottom line.
Right. If you are seeing your views and favorites go up, but your orders remain flat, your listing is failing at the finish line.
Yeah.
There are a few raw, actionable steps you have to take to stop these leaks. The most impactful one right now is adding listing videos.
Videos answer a buyer's doubts before they even have to articulate them. Let's say you sell a wooden coffee table. A photo shows what it looks like, but a video of a hand running across the surface shows the texture of the wood.
Exactly.
Putting a common object next to it in a video instantly communicates the scale. It makes the digital item feel tangible.
It removes the hesitation of the unknown. And the second major leak involves your policies and FAQs. Your processing times, your shipping policies, and your return rules must be 100% transparent before they ever add the item to their cart.
The psychology of cart abandonment is fascinating here. Let's say a buyer loves your product, they go to check out, and suddenly they are hit with a surprise 3-week processing time they didn't see on the main listing.
In that moment, the trust is broken. Even if they don't actually need the item for a month, the feeling that information was hidden from them causes them to abandon the cart. Transparency equals trust, and trust equals conversions.
And if they are hesitating, running targeted sales like abandoned cart coupons can provide that final psychological push to get them off the fence. You have to optimize all of these conversion elements, the videos, the policies, the pricing, before you even think about running Etsy ads.
The Etsy ads trap is one of the most common ways sellers destroy their profit margins during a slow period.
Oh, I've seen it happen so many times.
It is incredibly tempting to look at a slow month, feel that panic we talked about earlier, and just crank up your daily ad budget to try and force the algorithm to bring you sales.
But pouring money into a leaky bucket doesn't fix the bucket. And the ad system itself has changed too, hasn't it?
Radically. Etsy has deployed a new micro-targeting framework for their internal ads. It allows for highly individualized bidding strategies that are calibrated to unique listing conversion rates.
How does that actually dictate where my ad budget goes?
Well, if your listing's internal data architecture is messy, like if you haven't adopted the new personalization fields, or if your conversion rate is low because you lack videos and clear policies, The paid algorithm won't know who your ideal buyer is.
Okay, so what does it do with your money?
The system will take your daily budget and blindly push it toward mismatched, low-intent search queries.
So it's basically bidding on poor matches just to spend your daily allowance.
Yeah.
Your pay-per-click cost will skyrocket, and because the traffic is mismatched, your actual sales will plummet. You are paying a premium to show your item to people who don't even want it.
The golden rule of paid promotion is that ads only amplify what is already working organically. You should only ever promote items that have a proven track record of converting views into sales.
That makes total sense.
You must optimize your data structure and seal your conversion leaks first. If you want to stop burning cash and learn the actual framework for this, the Online Sellers Hub has a full Etsy ads strategy guide that details exactly how to turn ad spend into profit rather than just experimenting with your budget.
And you can grab that over at onlinesellershub.com/product/Etsy-ads-course.
It's an incredible resource.
It really is all about moving from reactive panic to proactive strategy. We have covered some serious ground today, so let's recap the survival guide for when those stats start dropping.
Good idea.
First, do not panic edit your shop. Stop guessing. Second, zoom out and check the broader market trends using the partner link for eRank. Third, Take the immediate diagnostic assessment at my.onlinesellershub.com to figure out where the AI is penalizing your infrastructure.
Fourth, restructure your listings using the 5 new personalization fields to feed clean semantic data to the Google Gemini integration.
Right.
Fifth, bypass the learning curve by securing a custom shop audit to master your external Pinterest moat. And finally, seal those conversion leads with videos and transparent policies before you spend a single dime on ads.
You have the tools and you have the roadmap. It is time to take your hands off the panic button and take back control of your shop.
I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Google's Gemini AI isn't just indexing data. It is an active learning entity. Right now, today, it's learning from how buyers interact with these new structural fields. It's building its fundamental understanding of what the perfect listing looks like based entirely on the sellers who are adapting today.
So it's locking in its baseline preferences based on the early adopters.
Exactly. The AI is training itself right now, which begs the question, if the machine learning models are defining quality based on the seller stepping up today, what happens to the legacy shops a year from now? Will they even exist in the eyes of the search engine, or will they simply be left behind in the dark?
That is a chilling thought, but incredibly motivating. Keep that in mind the next time you open your seller app. You don't have to be at the mercy of the algorithm. You can build the exact infrastructure the AI wants to see and turn those downward lines back to green. Until next time, keep learning and keep building.